ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् स्टडीङ्ग् दि गास्पेल् आफ् श्रीरामकृष्ण. इन् अवर् लास्ट् टाक् श्रीरामकृष्ण वास् रेफरिङ्ग् हिस् अड्वैस् टु शम्भु मल्लिक. Sri Ramakrishna, in that connection, is talking with Shambhu Mallik. And he recollected that. And he is telling these words. I said to Shambhu Mallik, don't go out of your way to look for such works. Undertake only those works that present themselves to you and are of pressing necessity, and those also in a spirit of detachment. So we have to understand a few points here. The world is too big. Nobody can help it for two reasons. Our powers are extremely limited. Time is limited. Energy is limited. Intelligence is also limited. What is necessary that we do not have? I recollect a beautiful incident. Once a man was sitting under a tree and watching, I think, a butterfly come out of its cocoon. And it was struggling. The man felt pity. And with all goodwill, he broke the cocoon. And then the butterfly came out, but it could never again fly because it was helped. So while struggling, there was a purpose behind. So all the limbs of the butterfly will be energized, blood flow starts flowing freely. God made nature extraordinarily wonderful. But the man, no doubt he had a good will, but he did not understand. He thought he was helping. Many times our helping people, we make them lazy, irresponsible, and help them to make them live an easy life. Struggle always is a great help. Suffering is one of the greatest helps. How few of us understand that suffering alone is the thing. Suffering is the very special grace of God. Only when we suffer and do not see any other way, then we turn to our universal father and mother. Until that time, we wholeheartedly do not turn. Billions of people claim that they believe in God. They visit holy places, even encounter death, whatever, due to various reasons, whatever reasons. But with all that struggle, they feel, of course, happy. But does it bring about any change in their life? Do their attachments become more detached towards worldly objects, including body? We see so many people dying every day, and yet we do not come to our senses at all. That is why in Shiva Puja, Shiva Aparadha Kshamapana Stotram, Ayur Nashyati Pashyatam, Pratidinam Yati Kshayam Yavanam, Pratyaya Antigataha, Punanna Divasaha, Kalo Jagad Bhakshakaha, Lakshmihi Toya Taranga Bhanga Chapala, Vidyutchalam Jivanam, Tasman Mam Sharanagatam Sharanada Tam Raksha Raksha Adhuna. Let us look whatever happened in our lives. We are not young any longer. So we have spent by time. We are not aware how our time had flown away. So that is what Pashyatam Ayur Nashyati. As we go on looking, we are not aware how time passes. That's why Ramakrishna is telling, first, if something comes to your notice and if you are in a position to help, then go and help as much as you can. Not that it helps really anybody. If we understand the theory of karma, our help also comes exactly when it is needed, how much it is needed, through certain people, If we do not deserve it, it doesn't come at all. And only those works that present themselves and are of pressing necessity, and those also have to do in a spirit of detachment. Because in a moment of emotion, we might give away more money and go on regretting, what a fool I have been. I should have given much less. So many calculations come. So that is why Sri Ramakrishna did not encourage. But does it mean he did not encourage helping other people? He said, definitely, do the best you can, but don't go out of your way. And he gives a beautiful illustration, and there is deep meaning in whatever Sri Ramakrishna says. He is the Yugavatara. His teachings are especially applicable for this particular age. We should never forget that point. The goal is the same, however many times God may incarnate, but every time the emphasis will be slightly different according to our capacity, our fitness, how we can progress. God always understands. And it is astonishing, every yuga means every age. I would say every generation, they have their own ways of thinking. Some of the even words which are in common usage by these young people, I don't think the parents understand. I don't think older people like me understand. So this is the condition. But they think, the young people think, and they have to live with their own peers. So they have to adopt. That's why Ramakrishna's advice is extraordinarily great. Now, Sri Ramakrishna wants to convey something very important. He is now expounding on focusing the mind. If something is terribly lost by people like us nowadays, it is focusing the mind. The more the inventions, the more artificial intelligence, the less we are able to focus. In fact, AI seems bent, hell-bent, as they say, that you don't think. I will think for you. A time might come. Some, what is called social philosophers, are, they are intuiting that in future, we might not even know who we really are. Like there was a, what is called wonderful future life depicted in the form of a small novel by Aldous Huxley. Marvelous book, Brave New World. And even today it is very relevant. People's minds are simply brainwashed day in and day out. Already it is happening. But do we know who we are? At least do we know we are miserable human beings? Maybe a time will come. I do not know. They may invent a drug. That's what is depicted in that book, The Brave New World. That, are you feeling depressed? Don't worry. Pop in a pill and you'll be cutting capers in the air, dancing with joy. That was the effect of the pill. So, we do not have even the chance to pause, think, who are we? Where from am I coming? Where am I going? Where am I going? How am I going? All these questions we never have the opportunity to ask. Sri Ramakrishna is telling now, it's not good to become involved in many activities that makes one forget God. So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling that to think about God, one requires tremendous focusing of the mind, concentration of the mind. We, who can take a look at what is happening in our day-to-day life, can easily understand when we sit for japa or meditation, what is happening. Sri Ramakrishna, as usual, is expounding his teachings with beautiful day-to-day illustrations, which we can experience even today. He says, coming to the Kali Ghat temple, some perhaps spend their whole time in giving alms to the poor. They have no time to see the mother in the inner shrine. Everybody laughs because they understand in his presence what he meant, how true it is. Sri Ramakrishna continues, first of all, manage somehow to see the image of the Divine Mother, even by pushing through the crowd. What does he mean? First realize God, then do service as much as one wants. A Jivan Mukta is only an instrument. His karma is worship of God. Sri Ramakrishna is emphasizing, first realize God. In Vedantic terminology, it means first know who you are. Tattvamasi, every scripture, every teacher echoes this sentiment. Thou art that, you are Brahman, you are God. And in course of time, the person understands and makes it his own. You are right. Aham Brahmasmi. And there afterwards, Ramakrishna says, so, you can do whatever you like afterwards. However much service you want, you can do it. He's going to say that one. But this is the commentary. So, afterwards, do service as much as you want. But what does a Jivan Mukta do? Does he think he's doing service? Service is done only by people who are ignorant, who think, I am in the position of being able to serve. You are in the position of receiving my service. I am different. You are different. All of us are different. But when a Jivan Mukta sees everywhere Brahman, who is laughing? Brahman is laughing. And who is crying? Brahman is crying. Who is beating? Brahman is beating. Who is getting beaten? Brahman is getting beaten. Remember that one sannyasi who saw a rich man beating mercilessly a servant, went to intervene, and that rich man bet this monk. He became unconscious and had fallen down. His brother disciples came to know, rushed there, carried him. Slowly he was coming back to consciousness, and one of them was pouring milk, and he was asked, just to know whether the person is becoming conscious, who is giving you milk? Can you recognize? And then he says, yes, I do recognize. The same being who had bet me unconscious is now feeding me with milk. This is called Sarvatra Brahma Darshanaha. Seeing God, seeing Brahman everywhere. In fact, unconsciously we go on telling. Our concept of God is, he is everywhere, he knows everything, he is all powerful, and he is all mercy. These are the four characteristics we unconsciously understand, that whoever possesses these four is God. So if God is everywhere, where do I stand in that everywhere? I must definitely be God only. There is no other way. So after realization, what does a Jivan Mukta do? He never says, I see some Brahman who is in need. I am Brahman who can serve. No. He says, this is a leela, sport, divine sport. Thus plays father, the monk who was being pelted by stones. If you remember, many times, I don't want to repeat what we have discussed. I hope you will remember it yourselves. So, a Jivan Mukta never thinks that feeling, I am a doer and I am doing something to somebody separate from me, and this is the instrument of doing, and this is what the action. Never such ideas arise at all. It is just like watching a cinema. When we watch a cinema, then we know everything that is going on is absolutely only appearance. There is no reality. The only reality is the screen, which is our consciousness. The mind is like the film. And so the consciousness, somewhere it is bright, somewhere it is dark. So it appears to be as a tree, as a house, as a man, as a mosquito, etc., etc. So why should Sri Ramakrishna emphasize realization of God come first? Because then we will be able to do whatever we like, or we will be made perfect instruments of God. And there is a beautiful Shiva Aparadha Kshamapana Stotram just now I quoted Ayur Nashyati Pashyata. So this is the Shiva that is there. Sri Ramakrishna continues, then that means after realization of God, that is what metaphorically he is telling, after having darshan of the deity inside the temple, you come out. The beggars will be there all the time. They are not going to go anywhere. Then you may or may not give alms as you wish. You may give to the poor to your heart's content if you feel that way. If you don't feel, you don't need to give. Is it not a sin? It is a sin. It is selfishness before God realization. After God realization, it is a sport. It is a drama. And then what is the state of a Jivan Mukta? This is beautifully written. So in another Shiva Stotram, Atmatvam Girijamati Sahacharaha Pranaha Shariram Griham Pujate Vishayopa Bhoga Rachana Nidra Samadhi Stiti Sanchara Padayoho Pradakshana Vidhi Stotrani Sarva Giro Yadyat Karma Karomi Tattadakhilam Shambho Tava Aradhanam. O Lord, you are my Atma. Girija, Parvati Devi is my Buddhi, my understanding, my knowledge. The companions or attendants, Shivaganas, are my Pranas and my sense organs. My very body is your temple. My interactions with the world are your worship. And my sleep is the state of Samadhi, complete absorption in. So my feet walking about is your circumambulation. All my speech is nothing but I am doing stotra. If I abuse you also, that is also part of your stotra only. Whatever I do, all that is your worship, O Shambhu. This is called karma yoga. What is karma yoga? It is doing, thinking, everything is God. I must think I am Shiva. Very interesting. We all quote Swami Vivekananda, and Swami Vivekananda quoted from Sri Ramakrishna, not compassion, not compassion. Who are you to show compassion? No, but it is serving Shiva, serving another person, thinking Shiva came to bestow his grace upon you. So he is giving you an invaluable opportunity to serve him. Shiva Jnane Jiva Shivaha. That's what Ramakrishna is telling. Work is only a means to the realization of God. Each sentence of Sri Ramakrishna, one can write volumes of commentaries. Work is only a means to the realization of God. What do you mean by work? If I am eating, is that work? Just now we quoted, Yadyat karma karomi tattadakhilam shambho tava aradhanam. Whatever I do, that's what Bhagavad Gita says, Yadashnasi, Yajjuhoshi, Tadasiyat, Tatkurushva, Madarpanam. Whatever you do, that is nothing but yajna, karma yajna, Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahmayevatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Here is a very interesting point is there. As we all know, there are four yogas, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga and jnana yoga. What are these yogas? Nothing but karma only. So if I am a devotee, I am singing his songs, I am hymning him, and I am worshipping him, I am going round him, that is karma, nothing but karma. And if I am a jnani, I am continuously trying to think, I am not this body, I am not this mind, but aham brahmasmi. If I am a yogi, I am trying to control my thoughts. That controlling factor is nothing but work, karma only. And if I am what Sri Ramakrishna calls karma yoga, bhakti yoga. What does a bhakta do? All day he is trying to please God. What does a yogi do? All day he is trying to control his mind. And what does a jnani do? All day he is trying to remember, I am not the body mind, I am Brahman. And what does karma yogi do? Living like a maid servant. What is she supposed to do? Oh, whole day, outwardly she is saying, I am a maid servant. I am not part of this family. I have my own family, my own home. But I am doing it only so that I can return home. What is that home? God. So, what does the maid servant want? I earn enough money, pension, so I can go back and I can live until I die, or we can interpret it as until I realize God, that this is my true home. So Sri Ramakrishna continues, every yoga is only karma. So karma yoga, Sri Ramakrishna says, is not work, but worship of God only. What does bhakta's activities do? Worshipping God. What does karma yogi's activities do? Worshipping God. What is yogi's karma yoga do? He is only trying to remove the obstructions in the form of thoughts and samskaras. That is karma only. What does the karma yogi do? Only karma. Everything is a karma. Sri Ramakrishna beautifully remarks, even to meditate on God, that's karma. Going into samadhi, that is also karma only. Do we need to go into samadhi? Until we realize that I am Brahman, then that is what Ramana Maharshi used to call sahaja samadhi. What is? Just to be with the knowledge I am Brahman. In fact, that word Brahman, Jivan Mukta doesn't use. Realized soul doesn't use. Because to say that I am so and so is to let others know that I am different, you are different. But there is no second Brahma to be able to say I am Brahman, because there is no other Brahma. Only introduction is necessary when there is somebody else is there. Therefore, Sri Ramakrishna says, I said to Shambhu, suppose God appears before you, then will you ask him to build hospitals and dispensaries for you? Profound statement. What does it mean? God appears. Is it like I meet you or you meet me? No. If God gives darshan, then everything disappears. Even that I disappears. Many times I told you, in proper Hindu temple, there is a pillar. It is called Dvajastambha. Dvajastambha stands for egotism. One's own individual identity. And when one wants to enter into the temple, everything that belongs, whatever offerings the person has brought, and esoterically, it means that my feeling that I am this, that also, that ahankara also, egotism also, has to be left there. Then who enters? There is nobody. Only God is there. That is technically called darshana. So, that is what he says. Suppose God appears. That means God realization happens. Will you see the world? Will you see something different from God? Then you see there is some God different from God who is suffering, who is needy, and who needs service. Sri Ramakrishna continues, a lover of God never says that. He will rather say, O Lord, give me a place at thy lotus feet. Keep me always in thy company. Give me sincere and pure love for thee. Because even before realization, long before realization of God, a devotee is given right understanding. Buddhi yogam dadamiha. What is that understanding? That I am the creator. I am the protector. I am the supporter. I am the sustainer. And I also take back from them everything. So if somebody loses money, God is taking it back. And why does he take back? Because of some misdeed a person does out of ignorance. So that taking away, and taking away means suffering. That's the grace of God. Only when suffering, why am I suffering? That thought comes. Then he says, I behaved very selfishly, very meanly, and therefore I would not like to continue that. I will change. That's why he says, apichedapi papebhya sarvebhya papakrittamah sarvam jnana plave naiva prijanam santarishyasi. So once a person decides, and then he says, apichet sudhuracharo bhajate mam ananyabhag sadhureva samantavya samyak vyavasito hisaha. That very moment, what happens? Kshipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat chantim nigachati kaunteya pratijanihi namaye bhaktaha pranashyati. O Kaunteya, proclaim loudly to the whole world, my devotee never perishes. He only perishes once. That is when I, out of my infinite grace, break his finiteness, and I will make him one, completely one with myself. Sri Ramakrishna is telling what are the problems. Karma Yoga is very hard indeed. In the Kali Yuga, it is extremely difficult to perform the rites enjoined in the scriptures. Now, Sri Ramakrishna is meaning by Karma Yoga all the rituals we have seen, even the upasanas that we have been studying in the Taittiriya Upanishad as well as Chandogya Upanishad we studied, and we are going to come very soon to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. All these are what is called fall under Karma Kanda. Karma Yoga is very hard. In the Kali Yuga, extremely difficult to perform the rites. Why? Because we don't even understand what is this Indra, what is this Chandra. All those Vedic gods metamorphosed into the modern three gods, Shiva, Vishnu, and Devi. And all the other gods that appear, they are nothing but Adhisthana Devatas of these three. And even to go further a little bit, that the whole world is sustained by Vishnu. That's why avataras come of only Vishnu. So somebody may question, what about Shiva avatara? Hinduism never mentions about Shiva avatara, excepting as some of these acharyas like Shankaracharya, but never a major avatara like Rama, Krishna. All are from Vishnu. Why are they from Vishnu? Because Vishnu is the protector, sustainer. He has to maintain the law. And therefore, dharma samsthapana takes place in two ways. First of all, dushta sikshana, shishta rakshana, paritranaya sadhuna, vinashaya cha dushkrutam. Dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. We can interpret a little bit subtly, which is to say, to help us to get rid of all the evil samskaras, impressions, and help us to purify ourselves and develop divine qualities. That is what our prayer, Shanti Patha. May all the spiritual qualities that are enumerated in the Upanishads, may it obtain only by thy grace. That's what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. So, why is Karma Yoga so difficult? Sri Ramakrishna answers. Nowadays, man's life is centered on food alone. He cannot perform many scriptural rites. Suppose, inevitably, Sri Ramakrishna ends illustrating with a marvelous analogy. Suppose, a man is laid up with fever. If you attempt to slow cure with the old-fashioned indigenous remedies, before long, his life may be snuffed out. He cannot stand much delay. Nowadays, the drastic D. Gupta mixture is appropriate. We should say that alone is appropriate. Oh, what is this D. Gupta mixture? The teachings of Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda. This is the beautiful analogy we will have to understand. So, why is it difficult? And then Sri Ramakrishna says, and 3 points we can derive. First, life is short. We don't know when it will be snuffed out. Not necessarily one has to suffer from fever or some other disease. Accidents, not even necessary. If because of the past life's result, if only this much of longevity is allotted, babies die inside the womb, outside the womb, age is no bar. At any age, people die. Then, what is the second point? we are so deeply identified with the body. Annagata prana means complete body identity, possession identity, identity of emotions. We are terribly interested or forced to identify ourselves with emotions. Then, of course, as soon as we are identified with the body, what type of desires arise? Only bodily desires. Where is the scope, place for spiritual desire? Only when a person 100% believes that the scripture is telling, emphasizing again and again that we are spirits, ever free, never bound, as Swami Vivekananda says, then only the desire for mumukshutvam will come. That is why that mumukshutvam is the fourth spiritual quality we have to develop according to Shankaracharya, which is beautifully put forward. Viveka, Vairagya, Shamadama Adi, Shatka Sampatti and Mumukshutvam, total 9 spiritual qualities. Then only such a person can be called a yogya, an adhikari, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. But there also we have to understand, not that 100% all the 9 qualities will be there. So 100% will be available only in a God-realized soul. But slowly as we progress, we must have discrimination. Then whatever we think is counter-profit, profitable, we have to give it, try to give it up slowly, slowly. Then slowly control over the body, mind, development of faith, keeping the mind equanimous and deep faith in the scriptures. All these 6 qualities will come. So then only we feel like needing a guru, a guide, and then only we approach him with complete faith. And even after having guide, we lose our track. What guru says, nobody listens. Very, very, very few people listen to what the guru says. How many times I go on emphasizing when I meet devotees, especially those who are living abroad, that your children are grown up, you have earned sufficient money, most of you. Now it is time to come back to India, choose a particular place and try to lead a vanaprastha ashrama. My God, what do they do? Whole year, they are running hither and thither to different ashramas, different temples, different festivals. Of course, India is a place of festivals and other things. Nobody tries to think, can I not pass my time? That is the biggest test. Sit at home and say, is not my time passing? Do I have to listen? Occasionally, if one attends, that's fine. In youth, that is very much needed. But when one is approaching death, is it not time? No. So, everybody is looking for a good time. You ask the young man, so we are having very good time, Swamiji. What does it really mean? It means my time is happily spent by you in the form of puja, in the form of hearing scriptures, etc. I am not able to sit quiet. What a piteous condition devotees do. They never listen to Sri Ramakrishna. Now and then go into solitude. But that now and then is not to. Even that also attend retreats. Even that activity is also to pass time only. Does anything go inside the brain? Absolutely no. So I have to go on doing a lot of activities. Even external rituals, what we call the pujas. It seems there is no end for this kind of rituals. But Sri Ramakrishna's words are very profound. So, because we identify with the body, until we rise from that point, go a little bit higher, our body identity will not allow us to deviate from there. In the Kali Yuga, the best way is Bhakti Yoga, the path of devotion, singing the praises of the Lord and prayer. The path of devotion alone is a religion for this age. This is a profound statement of Sri Ramakrishna. So there is why Sri Ramakrishna is emphasizing bhakti. If you translate into English language, it will make better meaning. For we are all creatures of emotion. We are happy, there is an emotion. We get offended very quickly, that is also emotion, electronic emotion. So emotion is highly dominant. People don't think, is it appropriate? But people don't understand. Swami Vivekananda, quoting from Sri Ramanuja's Sri Bhashya commentary on the Brahma Sutras, he had taken, Ramanujacharya himself had bodily lifted how to become a good bhakta, viveka, vimoka, etc. And he says that if only follow them. But as devotion ripens, slowly the man develops sattva-guna. When sattva-guna is developed, the man doesn't like any pomp, any outward exhibition. He wants to go deep inside. His talks with others are heavily curtailed. His activities, his eating, his sleep, everything is curtailed only as much as necessary. And that would be the natural development, natural result of developing sattva guna. That is the purpose of really vanaprastha ashrama. But who listens to Sri Ramakrishna? Now and then go, even that now and then go and live alone, very few people do, not to speak of long time. But now and then should be transformed into every now and then. And afterwards, curtail whatever it is there. When food is curtailed, the effort to cook is also can also be curtailed. Nowadays, we have got lots of conveniences. We have got the convenience of refrigerator. Cook food for 3 days and just heat it up. For that also there is microwave, or heat up the food. I am not saying you should not enjoy. I am saying that you should make it sattvika food. But if you don't, you will pay. I will pay. We will pay heavily. So because emotion, all sorts of emotions, when they are collected and solidified and directed towards God, that is called devotion. Emotion directed towards God, that is called devotion. Now Sri Ramakrishna turns to the Brahma devotees and he is making a beautiful statement of truth. Yours also is the path of devotion. Blessed you are indeed that you chant the name of Hari and sing the Divine Mother's glories. I like your attitude. Here, I have to interrupt a little bit and say, the singing of the Divine Mother's glories were introduced by Sri Ramakrishna. How, when Keshav Chandra Sen came, the idea that God must be called upon or looked upon and worshipped as Divine Mother. Divine Mother means motherly qualities of God, if they are emphasized, that is called the Divine Mother. Fatherly qualities of God, when they are emphasized, then he becomes a male. It has nothing to do with male or female. It has certain qualities. Equality, justice, protection, strong expectation. These are some of the qualities exhibited by the father attitude. Mother attitude, it doesn't mean you can do whatever you like, but it means if I have done something unconsciously or even because of some temporary desire, then if I can confess before mother, like the Christian confessions, then the Divine Mother will forgive. All right. Do not repeat it, whatever you have done. That is the purpose of confessional actually. And then Sri Ramakrishna is telling, you don't belong to the Jnani category because you are meditating upon the gunas, qualities of the God. You don't like image worship. And this is also not their native feeling. They have imbibed this feeling from probably Christian missionaries, also by the influence of Islam. So, even the followers of Islam, excepting a few Sufi mystics, they are all devotees of God only. Only they emphasize more on the qualities. And why do they emphasize on qualities? Is there some reason behind? Yes. Before Prophet Muhammad had appeared on the stage of this world, there were, as usual, innumerable branches of the so-called Semitic religion called Islam. Everybody is worshipping different types of God, every tribe. But because of the tribal mentality, there was a never-stopping internecine wars between one tribe and the other tribe. And Prophet Muhammad realized, this is not going. If we unite, then it is possible that we become very strong. Nobody can conquer us. So he heard that God's power. So he brought about a change. There is no God but God. No other God but God. What is that no other God? You can't go on worshipping different gods. Same thing happened when Moses came. Even when he went up after rescuing the Jewish people from the slavedom to the Egyptian Pharaoh, and then he went up to the mountain to ask God how we have to conduct ourselves. Meanwhile, there were so many quarrels, and some of them have condemned Moses severely, and they said that we will worship something like a cow. They will make golden images. And by that time Moses came down from Mount Sinai, then he found they were back to the same old state. And that is how even today every religion has split into innumerable branches. Anybody who has some power, a leader, and there will be some followers. Without followers, nobody can be a leader. And they think that what our leader says is gospel truth. So, anyway, the point here is, Brahmo devotees, like the Muslims, most of the Muslims, they are devotees of God. They praise God. They meditate upon the qualities of God. But a devotee of Jnanamarga, a devotee of Nirguna Brahma, he goes on denying, not this, not this, not this. He has to go beyond Nama, Rupa, Guna, and meditate upon pure existence, pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and pure bliss aspect of Satchidananda. That is what he is supposed to do. So Sri Ramakrishna is pointing out the common notion that is being cherished by these Brahmo devotees. We are not like Hindus. We are not worshippers of images, but fools. They did not understand that the worship belongs to the mind. It is not what you do outside. So long as you are worshipping the body, so long as you are worshipping the mind, identifying is the greatest worship, then you cannot escape what is called form. That's why M also could not understand in the beginning. He also liked the formless aspect. I don't know how that idea came. Ramakrishna corrected him slowly, and his meditation became completely with form. So, we do not know with which mantra Sri Ramakrishna initiated M. But for him, Sri Ramakrishna became the Ishtadevata. His talks became the object of meditation. He said, sometimes I meditated 24 hours on some of the sayings of events that he carefully noted down in his diary. So this Guru Bhaktas, every Jnani is a Guru Bhakta only. We have to keep note of that one. So Sri Ramakrishna says that you are Bhaktas. By that he is telling you are not Jnanis. Why? He says you don't call the world a dream like the non-dualists. You are not Brahma Jnanis like them. I think we cannot get a more clearer statement than this. To say they are neither the yogis nor karma yogis, but they are following the path of devotion. And again he says, you are bhaktas, lovers of God. That you speak of him as a person is also good. You are devotees. You will certainly realize him if you call on him with sincerity and earnestness. So he is telling crystal clearly that don't feel you are superior to these idol worshippers called Hindus. You are no better because betterment is not what you do, but what you become because of your practice. Has your life changed? Did you become little detached from your body mind? Is your selfishness slowly becoming attenuated? If it is not, then you are only devotees of God trying to take surrender. Anyway, what I was trying to tell, I didn't complete. It is only after Keshav Chandra Sen came into contact with Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna introduced the idea of the motherly qualities of God, which for convenience sake we call the Divine Mother, Sarva Mangala Mangalye, Shive Sarvardha Sadhike, Sharanye Trimbake Gauri, Narayani Namostuti. And also we see Srishti Stiti Laya. Who gives birth? Is it female or is it male? Purusha or Prakruti? So Sri Ramakrishna opened the eyes of Keshav. From that time onwards, they also started to worship God. And there were some people who were great composers of beautiful bhajans. There was one Trailokya, and he composed a marvelous song on the Divine Mother. Nibido Adharema, in dense darkness, O Mother, your formless form is shining with the greatest brightness. Chamake O Aruparasi. And it goes on like that. That is why yogis, they withdraw from all external stimulation and meditate in the depths of their hearts on this dense darkness. What is the dense darkness? Becoming one, or Chitta Vritti Nirodha, and then only the inner light comes out. Very interesting point. So if you suddenly enter into light from dense darkness, you will not be able to see. But as you proceed, and like owls can see perfectly clear. Some of the, what is called, like tiger, like leopards, they can see perfectly well, while the other creatures' sight is not that much. And that is the advantage which they take to hunt and kill. That is their dharma. They cannot live. They cannot live by eating grass, etc. So, Sri Ramakrishna had made it clear that you are bhaktas. How many Brahmo devotees understood this point? God alone knows. What we have to understand now is that this boat trip was arranged by Keshav Chandra Sen. So, with these words, Sri Ramakrishna is indirectly telling, you develop love of God, and the boat has come. It anchored itself at a ghat. So, the boat trip is over, and that is called Koyal Ghat. And all the passengers came down, and a carriage was hailed for the master, and M and a few other devotees got in with him, and the master said, I want to take leave of Keshav. Presently, Keshav arrived and inquired about the arrangements made for the master's return to Dakshineswar. Then he bowed low and took leave of Sri Ramakrishna. We don't know, a thought came to me, that did you ask who is going to pay? You have taken him from Dakshineswar into the boat, but how is Sri Ramakrishna to return? Naturally, he has to return by a boat. But did you inquire who is going to pay for the boat fare? How thoughtless these so-called famous leaders are, God alone knows. The master, while driving, enjoyed the sight of the beautiful mansions. Then at last, Sri Ramakrishna came to the house of Suresh Mitra. And then Suresh was not at home, but all his family members knew Sri Ramakrishna very well. Suresh Mitra had a wonderful devotion to Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna loved him as one of his inner members. So Sri Ramakrishna sat there. Narendra was sent for. There must have been wonderful songs. Then Sri Ramakrishna said, I am not a stranger to the master of this house. Ask for the carriage fare. Otherwise, who is going to pay for it? And there also, Sri Ramakrishna saw a painting of him along with other incarnations, pointing out the unity of all religions. And then Sri Ramakrishna had a few talks, and what he told to Keshab and others, he repeated, and he asked him, that is it not so? And he said, yes sir, quite so. So the master had to leave for the temple garden, which is Dakshineswar, and a cab was brought for him. M. and Narendra saluted him and took their leave. Sri Ramakrishna's carriage started for Dakshineswar through the moonlit streets. Beautiful talks, we will talk in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.